W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the WTH podcast. As the open just said, my name is Nate Darling. With me is Jason Casey. Hello, Jason.
Yeah, what's up?
As we record this, Kareem is handling some personal stuff, dealing with some family issues. So just keep a good thought out for him and his family, and we'll move forward with the shows. So we miss you, Kareem. Take care. Nothing.
I hope everything's all right, man. Like, it's like, what do you, too close to it, man.
It's something. Speaking of Kareem, his show, Invisible Man.
Oh yeah. It's coming up, huh? Next weekend.
So keep a lookout for that. It is at the Brick House Art Gallery in Oak Park.
In my gentrifying area of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that because that's what Kareem would say.
It's true. It is what he would say. Coming up on the show today, what do we got to talk about? Oh, a man called the cops on a stand-up comic.
No.
No, you'll never guess where it happened. Former King Tyreek Evans banned from the NBA.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Settle down.
Sorry.
And a few other things.
Mm.
So stick around for that. Got a few announcements before we get going any further. We talked about it last week. We are available on the TuneIn app, which means we are available on your Amazon Echo. Just say the keyword, which I won't say here because it will trigger your machine if you're in the room. Play podcast, WTH podcast from TuneIn, and we will pop up.
Boom.
That simple. Another announcement, my other podcast, The Morning Crunch Wrap, is on a 2-week hiatus.
Oh, shit.
So we're taking 2 weeks away from that. We'll get to that in just a second as to why, or one of the reasons why, but we've got Memorial Day coming up next week. And, you know, it's just been a very busy time here. So a lot of stuff going on, and the Morning Crunch Wrap does take up a little bit of time in the morning. It's a 5 to 10 minute show, but by the time I do the show, put it together, post it, do the artwork that I've been doing for them, get that all going, it ends up being, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of my day. And right now that's a little more than I got. So, So rather than do something halfway, we're just going to say, you know what, we're on a 2 week break and we'll be back after that. That show is also available on your Amazon Echo.
On the Echo.
So, we've got all of that going on. Jason, how was your week? How's week two or week three? Is it week three now of being a father of two?
Week three. Tiring, man. But at the same time, like, there's so many special moments. Like, my daughter is, so my mother-in-law has been there, mm-hmm. you know, since the beginning. And she's so helpful and so amazing. And she takes point on CJ a lot. But like now, like, it's all about daddy, like, okay. Not even mommy, like daddy. And this, it's like, everybody's told me that there, like, a lot of people have said that that's what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happens. So we had a special daddy daughter day, mm-hmm. which is crazy. I never thought I would have a daddy daughter day. It's kind of nuts, right? And we went to breakfast at Meet and Eat, and the only reason, I've been listening to a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
nice title.
Yeah. And it talks about, like, you have a certain number of fucks to give, so you should choose them wisely.
Oh, so like the number of eggs that a lady has.
Yeah. Yes.
It's,
yes,
only so many, but you, yeah, get to choose where to give yours.
Right. Exactly. I get to choose how to, yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's great, you know, and I'm a man, because so of course I get to choose. So anyhow, it was like, they had this egg, hamburger that was on, English muffins. Okay. With an egg, and spinach. I mean, it was totally the spinach from, you know, the store. Like it was totally from the boxes of lettuce that you get.
Yeah.
Like $3.69. Not that big of a deal, but at the same time, you would hope with a restaurant that's charging like $17 or $15 for something that they would be using maybe a better produce than what I could get at the store for $3.69.
Yeah.
You know? And the eggs, both the yolks were on one side and it was two eggs together for two sandwiches.
Huh.
Right. And they were connected still.
Hmm.
Which was so ridiculous. Like, why?
Maybe it was a double yolk egg.
No, it's supposed to be two separate. It's supposed to be two like hamburgers. You get like two little tiny,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they broke an egg open. It had two yolks and they went, cha-ching.
Oh yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what it was.
I got two different eggs with double yolks in one dozen.
Wow.
Right?
That's dope. Go play the lottery, bro.
Yeah. Chicken lottery.
So yeah, so there was like that, like, so, and then, you know, it said that my daughter's meal came with strawberries, like, on the French toast, and it came with like a fruit cup that was definitely like almost even like I could get from the grocery store, like cantaloupe, honeydew melon.
So it was the standard bullshit fruit cup.
Yeah. Like that I could have gotten at Pancake Circus, you know, like everything, there's nothing that made it worth the $35 that I had, except that I could get an espresso, you know, a quad espresso, which they were very light handed on too, man. Like there's just so much about it, but I decided not to give any fucks right then. And just enjoy the time with my daughter.
Next time, Pancake Circus.
Yeah. Seriously. Or like the waffle place. It's like $2.99, you know, steak breakfast, before 8 AM on the weekdays. So we did that. Then we went to Funderland, which was awesome. I got to see my daughter go on her first ride. Carol J went on this one. It was called the Fishbowl, I think, or Octopus. Anyhow, she sat in this thing and it just was like, you know, they're like circus rides, you know, or like carnival rides. She loved it. She she got very scared on the teacups.
I think we all do.
She was gonna fall. Poor thing. It was so sad. And she said I was her hero and that I saved her. Nice. Daddy hero. She drove a car there, and we did that. Like it was like maybe an hour and a half, and we went on five rides. Like because that's all. There's like only eight there in the first place,
right?
And then we went. I'd been looking for things to do, and the fire departments had an open house. They're having open houses for like the next. Like the next 3.5 months, 4 months. Mm-hmm. So each weekend, a different firehouse has an open house. And this one was Station 1 at like 600 Q Street.
Okay.
So like one of the first, like the number one is usually named number one for a reason. They don't just go around naming them. It was probably the first fire station
right
in Sacramento. but I wanted her to see a fire engine. So we went and did that. And she had to sit in the fire engine, you know, so, and then we went home. So that was neat. That was a lot of fun. The other daughter, on the other hand, kept me up since 2 o'clock this morning. So,
yeah, they'll have a tendency to do that.
So that's what I did. That's what my last week's been like.
So for me, I think the big news is, we got a baby. This week.
Oh, baby.
And if you've been listening to the podcast since late February, it's the same baby that we had in late February and early March for about 2.5 weeks. And because of some circumstances that I can't talk about here, she is now back with us. So we don't know how long that's going to be. That's part of why the Morning Crunch Wrap is... not happening for the next 2 weeks, because I need to kind of figure out what my mornings are going to look like and what the schedule looks like and how to do that and take care of everything. Because like this morning, Leslie was working from home and she had some stuff to do in the morning, and I was watching the baby, and she's happy. She's sitting in her little bouncy chair, And I said, you know, I need to go make some coffee. And when I say I need to go make some coffee, I mean a Nespresso.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally talking about 2 to 3 minutes. And basically, I would get from the living room to the kitchen, which is a good 12-second walk. And you would start to hear her. Mm-hmm. And I go back and check and back and check. Ultimately, I end up getting the bouncy chair and bringing it around and setting it so she could see me in the kitchen in order to do that. But to try and record an audio podcast with a child that age is a real challenge. She's 3 months old now. So,
or you can just do the show and talk about it.
Well, that's not what the Morning Crunch app is about. It's about a news story.
Oh, damn it.
So until that scheduling all gets figured out, and I figure about 2 weeks, then we'll bring back the Morning Crunch wrap, and you know, maybe it's something where I do it the night before so it's ready to go in the morning. But we'll figure out the timing of everything and then be able to bring it back. But that's good. Also, the WTH podcast, we are on YouTube. The last two episodes have been uploaded to YouTube. Now it's just a static image. So it's not us on camera at this point. It's just a static image that's basically sort of like the one that was created for Instagram. Mm. If you're following us on Instagram, that's the quote unquote video, because you can't upload just an audio thing to YouTube. You have to have a video. So it's that, and it's this podcast in its entirety. So the last two episodes are up there. So we'll be doing that going forward as well. So if you are a YouTube person, you want to have YouTube on, it's another place that you can listen to the show.
Bam.
And yeah, just search for WTH podcast. The channel is WTH pod 916 because it's based off the email address.
Okay.
Because it's all part of the Google universe.
Yeah.
The
Googleverse.
The Gooniverse.
Gooniverse?
Gooniverse.
Not Googleverse?
No, Gooniverse.
Gooniverse.
Yeah. We're just G for Google. Uh-huh. Universe. Gooniverse.
Gooniverse.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. And you'll stick with it.
Yeah. So we're just trying to give you as many ways as possible to go ahead and consume this content and make it really, really easy for you.
You want to make it easy.
Yep. So now that we've got that going on, I know, Jason, you don't drink anymore.
Nope.
Okay. So you're not necessarily.
But I'm always trying to get my wife drunk. Wow.
Okay. So, you know, you know, local breweries are famous for having two things.
Rats and what?
No, that's just in your neighborhood.
Yeah, okay.
local microbrews are famous for having babies and dogs.
Oh.
Well, in my home state of Vermont, there is a brewing company called Fiddlehead Brewing. They make a lovely IPA and double IPA. I really enjoy their beer, and when I'm back in Vermont, I'll get it on draft. It's one of my favorites. And they posted to Instagram, we had an incident in our tasting room involving an unprovoked dog who attacked one of our employees. We've always been a dog-friendly company, and while we love our four-legged friends, the safety of our employees and customers is of the utmost importance. From now on, no pets will be allowed into our tasting room or outdoor events. Thank you for your understanding. So one bad apple does ruin the whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really surprised this hasn't happened sooner and in more places, because there's a lot of dogs around, and people tend to be really unaware of exactly what their dog is and is capable of. Well,
you're drinking beers.
So you're not paying attention to your dog or your baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's the... When it comes down to the truth of the matter, I mean, listen, it's all cool until it isn't. And that's unfortunately just the way that a lot of things in life are. It's all good until it isn't. You know, because I'd be like, I'm not going to tell somebody that they can't have a beer around their kid, you right. know, or with their kid. But if a guy is having beer around his kid and then drops his kid on the head, like, I wouldn't be like, dude, you can't drink beer around your kid. You know what I mean? Like I, you know what I mean? Like I would probably not ever want anybody drinking. You know what I mean? Like it would taint the way I look at that from then on.
Sure. Sure. Well, there's drinking and there's drinking to excess, but the thing is with dogs, man, is everybody goes, oh no, my dog's cool. My dog's cool. And you know, maybe for the most part they are, but you don't know unless they've been really trained and you're paying attention. You don't necessarily know what your dog is capable of doing.
And even if you do, you don't.
I mean, they're dogs. So that's what's happened there. In Vermont, it's really interesting because the way they have the rules with their tap rooms, they can't sell unless they've got a liquor license, which they don't normally. They cannot sell beer to be consumed. So they can't sell draft beer to be consumed. So what they do,
they sell growlers?
No. Well, they do sell growlers to be consumed off property. Okay. They will sell cans. But when you go into there, this is why they call it a tasting room, is they have free samples. That's what the tasting rooms are in Vermont. It's free samples of whatever, unless they are in fact a fully licensed establishment.
And then all of a sudden they probably can't give anything away for free.
Well, I mean, you can give away whatever you like for free, but that's the way they did the rules in Vermont, which I didn't realize because there really weren't much in the way of microbreweries when I lived there. So when I went back a few years ago and I went in, they're like, how much for, like, what would you like? And I said, oh, we'll try one of those. And said, well, how much is it? And they go, oh no, we can't charge you for it because it's a sample. So that's kind of the way to do it. The Alchemist, which does Heady Topper, which is like one of the holy grail beers for real beer snobs. They've got a facility outside of Stowe, Vermont, which is a big ski destination. And they've got a line where you go through and you can get one beer at a time. You get your glass and you can go through and you go, oh, I want to try this. And you go and you try it. And then you can get in the back of the line. Oh, I want to try this. And then on the other side, they've got the line where you go to buy the beer that they have in cans that you that you consume off property.
And it's like right next to the exit.
No one's drinking those there. It's just a different experience.
No, I know. I was saying like it, they would put it outside, but they had to keep it inside and it's right by the door. So like, cause the only time people buy the beer is when they're leaving. Right.
Some people will buy it as soon as they get there, and they'll carry, like, the thing is they want people to come in, get their stuff and go, and they will get like two cases of beer at a time. And we're talking like four packs for $16.
Damn.
So when you're talking about that, which is still cheaper than buying you go to any microbrewery, a pint of beer is going to be $7. Mm. Okay. So a four pack of that would be 28.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get it for 16, that's a deal.
It's a hell of a deal.
It's not a deal when you compare it to the six pack you get for $8.99.
No. So, or like this, you know, the $6.99, you know, Steel Reserve.
I actually got a six pack of beer last week to cook roasts in.
Oh yeah. What'd you get?
I got, this is the best. And it had a discontinued tag on it, so it was marked down even more. It was a six pack of pint cans of PBR low calorie.
Oh yeah. I saw some of that somewhere, man. I was like, wait, that's ridiculous.
And so yeah, I got that to cook like pork roasts and beef roasts in the crock pot. So you spice them up, you throw the beer in there, and it cooks it up a real nice.
I wonder, like, I probably couldn't do it. I should not do it. Like, I have a soft, I still, like, I'm thinking about Steel Reserve right now, and I shouldn't, because like, I'm like, no. I know, why do people like, but I loved it because I could drink, like, I get so hammered. That's how I know I'm an alcoholic. Which beer can I drink that's cheapest that gets me drunkest? The Steel Reserve, please, for $3.99. But yeah, it was a good time. Way to entertain yourself.
Sure. Well, thankfully, you know better now. And look at you. You've got a wife and two kids and a lovely home.
I stopped drinking.
And a life.
I stopped drinking for 6 years, and this is what happens, man. Don't do it. Don't stop.
At no point in the past 6 years have you threatened to make a mountain your bitch?
Oh, yeah, man. No, I haven't. I was sober when that happened, by the way. I just...
I failed to believe that.
No, I was completely sober, dude.
I know you say that, but as much as you were consuming, there probably was some
residual.
No, like in the crevices of your brain, because it curls around up there.
I was like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hadn't had a drink since at least midnight the night before. And mm-hmm. I hadn't smoked any marijuana for at least 10 hours, at least 6-7 hours. Cause I probably wouldn't have done it even at all that day. Cause I was with people that didn't smoke really. And then, I had like half a 16 ounce beer. So I had like 8 ounces of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much sober that night.
That was you exercising good judgment at that point in your life?
Except for skiing without insurance.
I don't downhill ski. Do they offer, is it like the airport where you can buy that last minute insurance, like at the lift? Like, hey, for $50, you can get insurance that you won't kill yourself today. Because they would make a killing on that. You can take that idea, Jason.
I will.
I love that's like,
I like just stand there like, you can get insurance for the day here. Then you sign up right here. You will have a $1,000 deductible.
Well, that's nothing if you tear the hell out of your leg.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have insurance? All right. Well, sign up here. It's $100 and we will cover you for any accident you have on the slopes today. Because any insurance company would be foolish not to take that up, because they're going to make money, because most people don't hurt themselves. And then if you put them against a larger pool of clients that you already have, the ones that you do have to pay out, big deal.
What you do is you do secondary insurance. You do primary if you don't have any,
mm-hmm.
And secondary if you have some. So like you could say like, we'll cover your wages and things of that nature if you hurt yourself up on the mountain for, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks while you get something else in place. For people that have insurance themselves already,
mm-hmm.
and then for people that don't have insurance, you just cover their medical bills.
Yeah. Either way.
Either way, you're going to make some money.
All right. We've gone far enough down the insurance rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So across the country, there have been states that have been passing restrictive measures against a woman's right to choose. They'll call them right to life bills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana's got one coming, but in Missouri, they also passed one. And, This is from Twitter, and it's a GOP Missouri state representative named Barry Hovis justifying a ban on abortion in cases of rape. And he is a 30-year police force veteran. So this guy spent 30 years on the police force. Here's how he justifies a ban on abortion in cases of rape.
By having this point not start until 8 weeks, let's just say someone goes out and they have, or they're raped or sexually assaulted one night after a college party. Because most of my rapes were not the gentleman jumping out of the bushes that nobody ever met. That was one or two times out of 100. Most of them were date rapes or consensual rapes, which were all terrible. But I'd set in court.
Did you catch that?
Most of the rapes I did?
No. The case is, I'll play that part one more time. See if you can catch the problem with this statement.
That was one or two times out of 100. Most of them were date rapes or consensual rapes, which were all
consensual rapes.
Yeah. He actually uttered the phrase consensual rape, which is in and of itself an oxymoron.
What the fuck?
This guy, 30 years on the police force. He's now a state representative in a state that is passing restrictions on women's rights to choose. It's crazy how this is spreading, and it's all an attempt to try to challenge Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court. And it's clear that most of them actually don't do it on moral grounds. There was a conservative who resigned after who was pushing for one of these bans, and I forget his name. He resigned after it came to light that he pressured a mistress of his to have an abortion.
Yeah, because these rules don't apply to these guys.
Right. So it's one of the, yeah, consensual rape was actually uttered in a body of a state legislature by someone who spent 30 years in law enforcement. I don't know if he just got lost somewhere in his meandering thoughts. And we all know that, yeah, most rapes aren't a stranger jumping out of the bushes. Most of them are date rapes, acquaintance rapes, or their cases of molestation.
Yeah.
So what is your point?
Yeah. What's the point? What's the point, bro? Man, so much fuckery. Like, so much, like, I couldn't believe the way that, like, my wife being in the field that she's in, mm-hmm. Has had to deal with, you know, men looking down on her because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm. And she's really short.
And she's really short. Well, that was the actual real part. But
I'm sorry, did I step on your punchline?
Yeah, no. I didn't know punchline. No, I don't do punchline. And her mom, like, it was just like the way they're like, they weren't, I was like fuming. And the two of them were just like, this is the way we deal with this all the time. Like, this is the way that it is.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before on the show is, when the whole Me Too movement was sort of at its most populous in terms of getting coverage, I had conversations with my wife and I'm like, what the fuck? This guy is masturbating into a plant. What the fuck? And she's like, you have no idea, do you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she would recount different instances of stuff that happens. And I'm like, this shit actually happens. It's like the most ridiculous fucked up things that a normal functioning dude is never even going to consider because of how fucked up it is, but it happens pretty regularly and it still does. That's the most mind-blowing thing to me. It's things that you or I or any decent person that we know would be like, no, I would never do that. And some of the things that you might do, I've heard of guys who have a girlfriend and they have a weird relationship where they really fuck around with each other, not cheat on each other, but they'll play jokes on each other or they'll do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll do something weird. Like he'll walk around and rub his balls on something, which is not okay, but at least they're in a relationship where she's already given the green light to having his balls out.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's part of, I guess, like being with somebody also, like knowing what the limits are. I mean, and like there still are limits. Like you could take your balls out and like have them like, you need to put your fucking balls away, dude.
Right. But that, but to think that someone would be doing that in a workplace environment.
Who does that?
Apparently a lot of guys do.
Like, I don't even like, yeah. So back to like, these freaking abortion bans going on and all mm-hmm. these fucking like in Ohio now, Missouri, Texas, right. Like Mississippi, like all the states have mounted their efforts and have subverted some way. But I think that where they're going to fuck up. And this is what happened with, the cake thing. Is they're going to use the religious argument against the people fighting it, I think, because they're going to say you're saying that you have these types of feelings towards this thing and you are practicing the religion this way, but you're not following it in this other, like, because that's kind of what they did with the cake thing, right? They said you can't mount a case with without the fervent, like you're treading ground. I'm just hoping that this shit gets kicked. I hope it gets kicked
well,
in.
Well, they're all slightly different, and the idea is they make them all slightly different, and they see which one makes it up to the Supreme Court, if any of them do, because that's the whole idea. Like Alabama is one of the most severe,
right?
The absolute most severe, and even Pat Robertson came out and said,
"Oh yeah,
there's no way this is going to stand up," but it doesn't necessarily have to. If they do it in So if let's say we're up to a dozen states now, you get a dozen of these laws, 11 of them can get struck down, or actually all 12 of them can. But if the Supreme Court decides to hear one of them on appeal, then that's essentially a victory for them, because now we're getting back into trying to resettle what has been settled law for 46, 47 years at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I get it if you're morally opposed to abortion, but the argument isn't, are you morally opposed to doing it? The argument is, do you have a right to mandate what a woman is doing with her body? And they'll say, well, we're protecting children. But are you? That's not what this is about. This is controlling what goes on with that. I mean, and but they will stand behind and yell that it's about protecting the innocent children.
Well, I need to check the facts on it, but I've seen the thing that talks about the specific clause that exempts embryonic like location. Like,
well, there's no heartbeat in an embryo.
Right.
So that would get around most of the exceptions.
But it's still pretty goddamn close.
Sure. I mean, but that's why they're all written differently.
Yeah. Fuck these people, man.
In other more egregious news, the U.S. President Donald Trump, he's ours, has asked for files to be prepared for pardoning several U.S. military members accused of or convicted of war crimes, including one slated to stand trial on charges of shooting unarmed civilians while in Iraq. Trump requested that report came from the New York Times. Trump requested the immediate preparation of paperwork needed, indicating he is considering pardons for the men around Memorial Day. Report cites two unnamed U.S. officials. Assembling pardon files normally takes months, but the Justice Department is pressed for the work to be completed before that holiday weekend. One request is for Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher of the Navy SEALs, scheduled to stand trial in the coming weeks on charges of shooting unarmed civilians and killing an enemy captive with a knife while deployed in Iraq. Also believed to be included is the case of Major Matthew Goldston, an Army Green Beret accused of killing an unarmed Afghan in 2010. Reuters could not immediately identify a way to contact either of those men. The newspaper, the New York Times, reported the cases of other men are believed to be included in the paperwork without naming them. Now, some of the backlash, obviously, the president of the United States can pardon anyone who has been charged with or convicted of a federal crime. That's just the way the rules are set up now. Again, most of the time it happens at the end of your term, in that lame duck 2 months between the election and the time you leave office. And the news of this coming out has started to draw a lot of ire from people in the military and retired military, because it then basically gives the go ahead for anybody in a war zone. It's basically telling them, if they pardon these guys, hey, go ahead and kill anybody you like. We'll just pardon you later, which is incredibly dangerous. And kind of takes away that whole idea of us being the
good guys,
the moral high ground in any of this. Now, if you go back through the history of war, there have been individuals that have done atrocious things while wearing U.S. military uniforms. But the idea that we're looking at pardoning them for Memorial Day just to put on, I mean, it's all part of putting on a show.
Well, and it's the exact, like, that's not Memorial Day stuff.
No, because Memorial Day is about honoring those who are fallen. But again, we go through that explanation every year. That's one of Kareem's things that he likes to explain, that I used to explain before he came on the show, that if you want to thank a veteran, that's Veterans Day. Memorial Day is for those who gave their life in service.
Yeah. These guys did not give their lives. In fact, they took people's lives.
Yeah. Now, legal experts cited in the report said that pardoning several accused and convicted war criminals, including some who have not yet gone to trial, has not been done in recent history, and some worried such pardons would erode the legitimacy of military law. So,
yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty much like the highest guy in the military, like
the commander in chief.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Like, he's undermining his own authority.
Well, no, what he's saying is he's giving them authority to do whatever they want.
Well, but I mean, because of the way the military court is, it's fully under his jurisdiction. It's not like part of the DOJ at all. It's part of the military's.
I don't know where these guys are being tried. I don't
know. Well, no, if it happens in the military, it goes to the military court. Like, there's
sure, unless they're being tried in the countries where the crimes happen.
No, it goes straight to the military stuff. So I've seen enough JAG to know how this works. All right. no, I'm just kidding. But no, so like they have to, it goes to the military court. Like that's his thing. Like he's the one that's in charge of all those people making those decisions. Mm-hmm. So for them to get sentenced, he's pretty much appointed the people that are in charge of the people that are giving him them the sentence. Mm-hmm. And it's already been determined by his employees. And he's like coming through and saying, you know what? Nope, he's fine. So yeah, so like it does give, but I mean, it's also undermining his own, like.
Dude, it is so on brand with what he does the regular.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Right, and neither do his base of supporters.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. He's shaking things up and showing people what's what. By the way, we have a name for the show. It's I've Watched Enough JAG.
Just saying. I don't think I've ever watched an episode.
Well, I think you watched enough JAG.
Yeah.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
We have a felony rap count in an alleged sanitary napkin battery.
What?
I'll say that again in case you thought I was stuttering. A felony rap in alleged sanitary napkin battery.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. A 29-year-old woman was arrested after striking a hospital worker with a used feminine product that the suspect had removed from her pants. The defendant, Kofi Castellion, sought treatment in the emergency room of the Mies Dunedin Hospital, which is about 7 miles from her residence in Largo, which is a Tampa Bay suburb. Now, while in the hospital, cops say that she swiped 7 bathing cloths and 10 sets of hospital slippers, estimated to be worth a combined total of $10.79. Although if you're in the hospital, that gets billed for $1,000.79.
Yeah.
That minor pilferage cost her a felony rap since she had 2 prior theft convictions.
Oh, man.
Oh, but you know what? If you're going down, go down big, because she doubled up on her docket sheet when she allegedly took a feminine pad from underneath her pants and threw it at a healthcare provider, striking the female victim in the stomach with the used product. Well, at least it wasn't in the face. She was charged with battery on health service personnel after posting a $7,000 bond. She was freed from the county jail. Now, in addition to her theft prior, she's been convicted of narcotics possession, battery on a law enforcement officer, obstruction, violating probation, filing a false police report, failure to appear in court, and providing a false name to police.
Nice.
So, yeah, she's a busy one, isn't she?
She is.
Busy one. And that all before her 30th birthday.
That's nice.
I don't know if that's the word I would choose for it, but meanwhile, also in Florida, a Florida man called police to report a comedian of Middle Eastern descent who he believed had told a joke that showed support for terrorism. Stand-up comic Ahmed Ahmed, who's of Egyptian descent, poked fun at negative stereotypes of Muslims during a set at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples. "Clap if you're from the Middle East," he said. After a smattering of cheers, he slyly responded, "All right, we have a handful of us in here, nice. But hey, it only takes one of us to tell a joke." At least one member of the audience did not get the punchline. He called Collier County Sheriff's Department and told the deputy that Ahmed was organizing people of Middle Eastern descent to possibly commit terrorism.
Yeah, he's dropping bombs like that.
He said, "That's great." He said, "We can organize our own little terrorist organization." And I don't think it was right. I mean, it really bothered me.
What a fucking snowflake.
And I yelled out, "And the paddy wagon is going to be outside to get all of you." What a weird heckle. I mean, what a really weird heckle. The man added, "My wife and I looked at each other and we felt very uncomfortable." The caller told authority he was only at the club because he was given free tickets. Then get up and leave.
I got some of these free tickets here, and these guys were doing this show, and one said there's a terrorist, and he was going to blow it up.
Now, the good news for Ahmed is he got some time on NBC News, and he said, the only takes one of us line is in his regular act. It's never sparked any blowback, saying, I've told that joke about 1,000 times around the world. Whatever he heard and what I said are two different things. The comic said he stuck around after Saturday's show to meet with any fans who wanted to speak with him or snap pictures. That's pretty common. He said, terrorists don't do meet and greets. We don't say death to America and then, but wait, let's do selfies first.
Yeah, that dude's been around for years, too.
Yeah. And now he had the police called on him. See, this is what happens with the see something, say something. Some people are just stupid.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in Florida.
It only has to work once, right, Nate?
One time.
I mean, no matter how many poor innocent people are shot and killed, it only takes once for it to really catch somebody.
That's Florida Corner. Thanks, everybody. So Tyreek Evans, former Rookie of the Year with the Sacramento Kings. He was traded away, came back for a little bit and then went away. He was with the Indiana Pacers this past year. And a couple days ago, this came out on Twitter. The Indiana Pacers were informed by the NBA that Tyreek Evans has been dismissed from the league for a violation of the league's anti-drug policy. We take these matters seriously and we'll reach out to Tyreek to offer our support. They just said, yeah, dude, you can't play in the league.
I wonder what type of drugs he was using.
Hard drugs.
Because I think marijuana is like part of the, like you have to smoke marijuana to play, right?
That might be a racist statement. I'm not really sure.
No.
It might be.
Maybe I'm thinking of the NFL.
I think there's plenty of dudes in the NBA who smoke weed. Yeah. I highly doubt that him smoking weed got him a league-wide ban.
Yeah, no, I was being facetious.
I mean, it's possible.
I doubt it. It's like you don't get kicked out of the military for necessarily smoking marijuana if you've had a stellar career. But if you've used cocaine or you test for cocaine, you're out.
Meth, heroin. A variety of
special
things.
K.
So hopefully Tyreek can get his MDMA. His shiz together and
crocodile.
You're just naming shit off now.
Stegosaurus. Some of that. Some.
let's get the hell out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Oh, you know, we didn't talk about Marilyn Hagerty at all last week. And
some of that dirty snow.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's an aroma of blot cake and risk rem around 1401 9th Avenue South this week.
That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't make that up. That's where the Norwegians among us will celebrate the 17th of May on Friday. That was last week. They call it, and I'm going to pronounce this way wrong, Setendi Mai.
Oh, yeah.
And they're inviting all their friends for lunch or afternoon coffee. Now, it's a good thing that G. Paul Larson and his wife Barbara are home from Florida. They fly the Norwegian flag in front of their home on Chestnut Street. So, by the way, when you do that break and entering down on Chestnut Street, look for the home with the Norwegian flag. That'll be G. Paul and Barbara. And, you know, they're old because they winter in Florida. This year, as always, Else Reike, who was born in Norway, has been leading the way in lefse making. Cindy Dahl was among 18 bakers of cookies. Sandbakkelse, Fatigiman, rosettes, flatbread, crumb cake, krossenkake, and serenakake. if I pronounce them wrong, it's a podcast.
My favorite is the bukkake.
Right. No mention of the bukkake. These are known as the Scandinavian Seven.
Oh.
A Scandinavian Seven. By the way, did you know that on Amazon you can buy all the stuff you need to make your Norwegian treats?
I did not know that.
You can, and just go through that shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra, help support the show. By the way, graduations are also approaching. The days of May dwindle down. May 30th is the last day of classes in Grand Forks schools. High school graduations are set for Sunday, June 2nd at the Alris Center. Red Rivers is at 1, Central's begins at 4. The next segment in this little article, soup for 10 cents. Time marches relentlessly on. 50 years ago, there were advertisements for the four Miller grocery stores in Grand Forks. Norby's department store was promoting White Stag clothing for children. And for 10 cents, shoppers can find a can of Campbell's tomato soup at the Piggly Wiggly. Rydell's was holding a 15th anniversary sale. Rex Morgan in the comics looked
Get the fuck out of here, Marilyn. Get the fuck out of here. You could have said any of the Snoopy's characters, and you choose fucking Rex Morgan, who nobody reads fucking Rex Morgan. In fact, that is the comic that every single person that is under the age of 55 skips.
I've never even heard of it.
It's in almost every single paper, but it's a stupid soap. It's ridiculous. It's like soap opera comic.
Mm-hmm. Well, he looked much the same in 1969 as he does now.
Get the fuck out of here, Marilyn.
And Hatton won the state high school basketball tournament in Minot. A record 966 diplomas were awarded to graduates of UND in the June of 1969, with three new libraries in other major cities of North Dakota. Grand Forks was exploring the possibility of a new facility. Lieutenant Governor Richard Larson of Grand Forks was among those who spoke on behalf of the rebuilding, and Grand Forks voters favored building a new library for $425,000 by a 2-to-1 vote. That was everybody in town voted. 2-to-1 was the vote. No. June 11th, 1969. This just in. And during those days, the Shriners were expecting 1,200 to take part in the ceremonies. A large parade was planned, and of course, it says the Vietnam was winding down. The Vietnam was winding down.
It was not winding down in 69. Like, it was not winding down in 69.
She's also missing a word. The Vietnam was winding down.
Come on. Okay, Marilyn. Like, I get it. But it was not winding down. And that was like the crescendo. 1969, the summer of 1969 was the crescendo of the anti-war movement. It was not winding down.
That's when Bryan Adams got his first six string.
Oh.
Got it at the five and dime. By the way, I'm seeing Bryan Adams this September. Super stoked.
You guys going to hang out and have a beer in track 7? With your dogs?
How dare you? He's playing the amphitheater.
Oh, Shoreline?
Mm-mm. The one in Wheatland.
Oh, used to be Sleep Train, but now it's like Mattress Center.
It's the Toyota, actually.
Oh, is it the Toyota Center now?
Toyota Amphitheater.
Oh.
I believe it's the cause. I got it. That was the $20 concert ticket promotion that Live Nation did.
Well, that's Camry.
It's indeed Camry. Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode of the WTH podcast. Good Lord. Kareem, our thoughts are with you, my friend. Hoping everything is going well for you.
Yeah, buddy.
Remember, wherever you listen to podcasts, and now on YouTube and on your Amazon Echo, you can listen to the WTH podcast.
When you're all out there on the tundra.
Mm-hmm. No matter what you're doing. Go back in time to 1969. We'll be there, assuming you can get internet. Good luck with that. Look for Al Gore.
Yeah, or Adam Carolla.
He was a wee lad at that point. All right, back on Friday with another new episode. Y'all take care. Bye.
That was freaking crazy.